Okay. Right, that's us this time. So my first question for you both is just when and how did you first get involved with the community business movement? Or do you see yourselves as part of that movement?
I don't know if it still exists.
It's very, very hard to define that movement, to be honest. And everything changes names with different fads and phases. And I think we've just continued to plough the same furrow right through. We started way back 77 providing resources to the community. It was a European community, well, it was an EEC funded project, and it was a resource centre, and so it was to help community action by providing access to print equipment, information, space, that sort of thing.
Support and advice as well,
wasn't it? Mm-hmm. You worked with various groups as well.
Yeah.
Support to groups.
I mean, that project, one of the things that came out of that project that I was closely involved in was employment work. And all it was research. It was, government was reeling from unemployment. Could anything be done at the ground level, community base, to create jobs? And we had lots of fanciful and ridiculous and absurd ideas.
Most of which we did.
But the one that came out of it, the one sort of durable idea that came out of it, was workspace. And it was simply copied from what was happening in London. It hadn't been tried in Glasgow. But we thought it was a good idea, and did a wee bit of background research. And we were directed quite strongly by John Pearce. John had just come up from Cumbria, where he'd worked in the community development project. And he'd come up with lots of ideas about community enterprise, or was that what it was called? Community business, mm-hmm. It was called at the time. And he worked with us, and he worked in Fergusley, and he worked in a few other places.
Was that the local enterprise advisory project,
yeah.
Wasn't it? LEAP?
So we went from the resource centre closed in 1981, I think. Yeah, 1981, and we went from the resource centre into Govan Workspace, and Govan Workspace started trading on the 23rd of February 1981. A long time ago.
And what was the basic idea behind starting the workspace? What did you aspire to facilitate?
To bring jobs to the area and keep jobs, really. To create jobs, but principally to bring jobs by providing the correct space for small businesses to thrive. And we did work very closely with our tenants, giving them support and advice and holding their hand and sorting out their VAT returns and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it was to bring jobs to the area, because unemployment rate at that time was horrific.
And what kind of people did you find coming through the door initially?
It was a total mixture. I mean, very small businesses, but printers and caterers and computer people, and it was a very, very wide mix in the early days.
We didn't know it then, but it was actually dead easy, because no one else was doing it. I mean, the idea behind it was that Govan had always been a place with lots of small businesses, workshops, engineering shops, and they'd all been kind of knocked down with the comprehensive redevelopment in the early 70s. And the idea was to try and provide space where some of these people could come back. Didn't quite work like that, but we didn't know it then, but it was quite easy. I mean, we let the first building in no time at all, because the concept was entirely new, and it was everything from a self-employed joiner to you know, a printer to some ancient some very ancient crafts.
Used to make dyes and rubber for the print. From the print, and it's totally different. No, don't do it now, but he did.
It's equivalent to letterpress, wasn't it? And they all said, "Wow, you know, we can get a tiny space." 5,000 square feet was considered in the commercial property market a small space. We were talking about 500 and less.
And monthly leases as well.
In the research, we were told. They laughed and said it won't work. The estate agents, the surveyors, the estates department of Strathclyde Regional Council, they laughed and they said it won't work. Maybe everybody's doing it. And so it's much harder now. The business model is a tough model. Much, much tougher. It's just everywhere you look, people are providing that kind of space. So sometimes I think, let's get out of it.
Move on to something else.
And what was particular about how you structured the business that made it a community business rather than just, you know, people who were renting out spaces to let?
It was community in its structure, not in the daily operation. The daily operation, we ran it as a business. The staff ran it as a business. But in terms of the management, the overall management of the company had to live or work in government. To become a member, and you could only be on the management committee on the board if you were a member. So it was the management of the company was structured towards local people, and it has been ever since.
And do you think you've managed to kind of consistently maintain that links with the community throughout your period of
very much so
training?
Yeah, we've
that's probably our greatest success.
Saying to you earlier, over the years we've worked with the community in various campaigns and we've managed to resource them on issues and fight issues that they've won that they would never have won because we had the resources to do that, either the manpower or the money to pay for consultants.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting looking back, we started way at the beginning providing resources, and by resources we meant leaflets and information in a toy library and access to meeting space and so on and so forth, and a few pounds maybe to community groups to do things, but really the resources that we provided later on in our development, I would say from probably 2005, which for us is very recent, for you it's a long time ago, but for us it's extreme, like yesterday. We repaid all our loans, £1 million of mortgages by 2005, and suddenly we felt we could do other things because we're still generating the same money. So we actually ploughed a lot of money, resources we could never have dreamed of before, and time into community projects. So, you know, from fighting a development of a waste dump on the River Clyde, that was massive. We won it, didn't think we could win it. It cost £10,000. We put about half that into it and we got other people to put money into it. But it's just an example of real community action and real resources. So it's interesting. It was started there and actually we continued along that road.
As I was saying earlier, the whole conservation issue that we went on to work the conservation plan and develop that, that came out of that fight against the development on the Clyde. It was a sort of, what can we do now? We won that. Let's look at the community and see what the next sort of battle should be. And we wrote the conservation plan and then moved on to Fairfield. So.
Just last year, we fought the council for 2 years on a proposal to turn Govan Road into basically a motorway with no parking, double yellow lines along it. And again, we didn't honestly think we could win it. And there's no doubt we wouldn't have won it if there hadn't been 60 members of the community cramming into that boardroom along there. and screaming at the council when they came to attend meetings. So we put money into it, we employed lawyers, it cost us thousands, but it gave the community, and they didn't want to see government changing, they didn't want to see the Elder Park being surrounded by a freeway. So again, it was resources that, because we're still true to those community roots, those resources were of huge benefit to the local community. A lot of luck involved, to be honest, a lot of luck. Mm-hmm. But
a lot of hard work.
Yeah, a lot of hard work.
Do you think it is particularly difficult to do that, juggling that between, as you say, running a profitable business and then this other side of the work that's the kind of community engagement or development side? I mean, is that where you feel the biggest, you know, demands on your time and your energy, or is it that balancing act?
It's developed that way.
Yeah, it's hard to get right. We can't survive unless we let the units, but the demands, particularly in recent years, on your time would be
The more success you have, the more demand there is on your time. So the more success you have at the community level, the more things that people want you to do, and then you've got to say, well, to be honest, we can't get involved in that because we've got limited resources. So it is a difficult balance at the moment. We've kind of scraped by, and we've simply identified the important fights. Not always the ones we thought we could win, but the important ones, the big ones, and let other people deal with the other stuff. Like, I mean, it's a big campaign at the moment to prevent parking around the Southern General Hospital, around the new hospital. Quite a big campaign, but so, well, there's plenty of other people there to wage it. So we're not really good directly involved. And when I say we've been lucky, I think we've been dead lucky with a strong board. And I mean, the community development field is littered with the corpses of community enterprises and social enterprises that have been torn apart by political infighting. Lucky, totally, completely. We took a decision at the start, which was that we wouldn't have any political representation on the board, and we stood by that decision. The early directors, to the extent that it cost us a fortune, when we didn't take politicians on the board. I think that's partly a bit of luck, but partly also the reason why we've managed to really survive.
And how important do you think Govan Workspace has been as an inspiration to the community business movement along the years? I remember seeing some photographs of some kind of festival or something that took place. Was it maybe in the early 1980s? That was hosted maybe in Harmony Row or something like that.
Now you're getting into the dim and distant past. We don't know. We kind of tend to, as Pat said, sort of go on our own way. But how the rest of the business, community business movement's faring, we're not in that field, are we?
Yeah.
We've kept.
We're not.
We've been really sort of tied down with the volume of work of keeping the business going and doing the other things. We've not really had the time. We're a very, very small staff to stretch yourself out into the sort of wider community. We did a fair bit maybe in the early days when John Pierce was around, and knew more what was going on then. But in recent years when it's changed a bit, we've not really involved ourselves.
So today, do you see yourself as part of the social economy?
We're part of the third sector. We're not a private business or anything like it. But we're not terribly well connected with the movement, because the movement has changed several times in our lifetime.
I think the terminology got very confused at one point. You know, people would be doing care projects and stuff and calling them social enterprise. We were saying, well, that's very different to what we do. Mm. And the whole thing kind of got a wee bit sort of confused.
There's also a lot of chameleons out there, isn't there?
There is, you pop up the great regularity.
And so, what about Govan then? Is the problems that you were... You know, obviously unemployment was massive in the 1970s. Are the kind of needs of Govan the same today as they were in the 1970s, or how have things changed here?
It's changed very, very little. Physically...
In recent years it's improved.
Well, physically it was downhill all the way right up until about 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
The last 6 years, physically, there's been an improvement through local authority and Scottish Government project, Central Government Action Plan. Improvements around Govan Cross, but we've got generations of unemployment. It looks like a poor community. And
there's definitely still a problem with image out with the sort of near Glasgow. If you say to anybody Govan, the first thing they think about is Ralph C. Nesmith. And it doesn't help, you know, trying to develop businesses in Govan. That image is still very much to the forefront of people's mind, and hopefully some of the recent works will help to change it. And certainly Fairfield does. People come in and they're astonished that there's a building of this quality in Govan. And then they start to read the history and start to understand the rich heritage that is here. It helps to change hearts and minds, but there's still a way to go.
And so what makes you so attached to the area yourselves? What keeps you doing this incredibly demanding job?
There's always more to be done.
get a certain age when you'd never find another job. Only joking.
You get embarrassed to say, I still work in government, you know.
Nah, it's too much short termism in regeneration. It's all short termism.
I mean, we had a thing called the Govan Initiative. We've been initiative to death in government, yeah, of various formats. And they come and they go.
They come, you know, and go.
We've seen them come, we'll see them go. And they're full of bright
ideas.
And
they milk it. I mean, let's be honest, there is a poverty industry. And they milk it. They come and they then swan off to Poland or someplace, Gdansk or someplace, and pontificate about the wonderful things that are happening here that they could be doing there, and you say, what planet are these people on? There's a big industry out there, and frankly, people will go wherever there's rich pickings, and at the moment there's been rich pickings in Govan because they see it turning around, and sometimes they like to exaggerate their own, and I hope we don't do it, but I think they like to exaggerate their own role in turning it around, particularly some of the previous initiatives.
And what about the kinds of people that are renting workspaces from you today? Are they still the same kinds of skills that are coming through the door, or has that changed over time?
Some of them would be the same, but you wouldn't get the individual joiner now, or the... They've still got printers. They've got quite a few printers. For some reason, we've kept hold of printing. But more would be office. It'd be much more office based. Absolutely no, apart from printers, no sort of engineering. We used to have some engineers and stuff like that. That's all gone. It would be more, much less industrial, much more office based, workshopy type of thing. We've got coffee suppliers, coffee man, you know, people that sell coffee machines. That would be more the kind of commercial side of things, and the other side would be people in offices doing IT work. So it's probably less varied, the type of person that you would get, and certainly not as much of the industrial stuff that's going. I think that just reflects the economy as it is.
And do you still, do you get, you know, what's your age demographic of people you...
The tenants, or of us. Of us, ancient. Of the tenants, age demographic. I don't, that's pretty varied, because, I mean, some of our tenants employ young students. One of our bigger tenants does a lot of translation, not translation work, they do a lot of marketing work that involves making calls abroad and stuff, so they use a lot of students. So there's, you know, there's probably employ 40 or 50 young people on short-term contracts. Next.
The age range is very, very similar.
Very similar.
I mean, we were all young at one time. All the tenants and us. And there's still a lot of young people coming in as tenants. I don't think it's changed. The activities have changed, the businesses have changed to reflect the changes in the economy, but...
you don't get people as much coming in to start their business in a unit now. More because of technology, they can work from home, they can work mobily, they can... It's only when they've got to buy stock or employ another person. So they're usually the next stage on before they come into us. So that's changed, whereas you would get somebody who was brand new, just got their redundancy check and didn't know what that was, and you had to sit them down and explain it all to them. People are way beyond that stage by the time they come into us now. Quite often it's their next kind of step on the ladder in terms of developing the business.
So do you have to, have you had to change your support you provide to people in order to accommodate?
Yeah, they don't. In some cases, they don't need as much support because they've gone through that initial phase away from us, and they're coming to us once their business is established, which most people now would do remotely from home.
But I mean, that support was, I suppose, mainly directing people to the places that we knew they could get funding. I mean, if you were a manufacturing business, you could get £3,000 for every job you created. If you'd been unemployed, you could get £20 a week for a year. And we were directing them to those sources, but those sources don't exist any longer. We've got this literally zero support for people starting up a business. So that's one of the reasons why there's less contact. And they work from home or from a garage or whatever.
Until they can stand it no longer, and then they come to us.
And so we've mentioned some of the heritage work that you've done and some of the kind of community campaigns around conservation. What other projects do you kind of invest in community-wise?
I think the big one at the moment is Govan Home, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we after the sort of big waste dump thing, we get involved in conservation. We realised, I mean, we should have known long before, but we did realise that Govan's history, its historic buildings, were its greatest asset. And so we did a lot of work with the community, looking at those things, the conservation area. We did the report in 2005, it got conservation status in 2008. That in turn brought more grants from Historic Scotland, Heritage Lottery into the area. We identified Fairfield, A-listed as an important project. Currently, we're working with clenched teeth on Govan Old. A-listed building, we want to hold on to that, trying to develop it. Good plans to do that. Other wee things like the ferry, it was mentioned earlier, helping to end Govan's Isolation helped to connect it to the West End over the summer. One of the things that the ferries influenced is a new cross river bridge connection, which is going to happen in a few years, by 2018. And we mentioned things like the Fast Link, fighting with the community to defeat that. Our premises get used by the community for weekly meetings, Govan Community Council, Govan Reminiscence Group, the Govan Youth Information Centre stores their minibuses in our premises. It just works at different levels. I used the word resource earlier, and it's about making the resources that have been developed, making them available to the community.
And what kind of projects did you get? How does that contrast with the projects you got involved in maybe in the 1980s or 1990s? What was your community links then?
I think it's just a development from what we did then. To, I mean, it's different subjects, you know, Govan Home's different from other campaigns and stuff we fought, but it's what's required by the community at that time. We've responded to it. I mean, the reason for Govan Old was that being involved in Govan Old is that the Church of Scotland decided to close the church and it not to be the main parish church, and really there was a danger of the church being sold off, and that would have been a huge loss to the community. So it's about responding to the community need at that time, and I think that's been the same all the way through. We have not been setting the agenda, we've been responding to what people have said is required and want to take on.
But a big difference too was that in the early days we just didn't have the time to get involved in other things. Mm. I mean, we didn't have staff to do this, that and the other, so the bulk of your work was simply the business. But as well as that, we took on £1 million worth of borrowing, and that was heavy duty. So there was no spare cash to do anything. Bit like just now, actually.
Having done Fairfield, we've come full circle.
from 2005 to about 2010, we were really, I suppose, at a time, we didn't know where we were living, where there was a wee bit of extra cash. We weren't putting money in the mortgages any longer, they were all paid off. So every month there was a bit of money left, but then we took on Fairfield, and that was just a sponge. We took everything. And even now, it's more time than money, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're given.
And you mentioned earlier that, you know, it's difficult to even describe any kind of coherent community business movement. But, you know, and you said that yourselves are perhaps one of the few people still working in that kind of model today. Why do you think that is? Why is there not more examples of community business around today?
I think maybe
there could be, but we might not know about them.
I'm probably overstating it there, to be honest. I mean, I know there's lots of social enterprises out there. What's the difference? I mean, lots of them are in social services type activities. Used to be loads of them in training. I don't know what the situation is now in training, but there was a wash with people in training. But I mean, there are lots of social enterprises doing magnificent work, and we pick up information reading Sainscott stuff. We pick up information about it. It's brilliant. It's all happening.
I think one of the places where we diverged was when, I mean, we used to do
women returner training and training for people that had been out of work for a while. But when it became you were having to work for your brew money plus 10 quid and stuff, we took a principled decision that we weren't getting involved in that at all, and we walked away from it. And I think a lot of other enterprises stuck with it and did provide contracts for employment, Department of Employment, basically. And I think we kind of diverged a bit at that stage and separated ourselves from that. And that was a very conscious decision, that we weren't going to provide resources for daft employment schemes where people were being forced to work for the brew money, basically. But a lot of people did.
So no, I think it would be overstating it for us to say that there's not many social enterprises or community businesses or community enterprises, whatever you call them, like us. There's plenty. I suppose one difference is that we're involved in a business activity as opposed to a social activity. We do social things from... we use the profits or our time or whatever to invest in the community, but we're not providing social care for children or disabled people or running a cafe for disabled people. And I read every week about some of the stuff and some of it's fantastic. So it's different.
We've kind of stuck with the older model, if you like, whereas the newer model's a bit wider and a bit looser and definitional.
And so where do you see yourselves in the next 10 years?
You had a wee hesitation before you said the number. After 39 years, where do we see Gov Merch Space? Or is there continuing to do the same kind of work we're doing just now, hopefully? And continue to be embedded in the community and responding to the community's needs. There is an issue of succession that we're dealing with. We won't be here forever. Will we, Pat?
Speak for yourself.
Yes, he says that every time.
I think probably it's time to take stock.
Is this going to turn into a therapy session?
No, I think it's probably time to take stock and address that question. I don't think we can answer that question at the moment. I think what we know we've got to do is do what we're doing better. And we're very conscious that when you take on, when a small community business takes on a big project like Fairfield, it really sucks the life out of it, it sucks the money out of it, it drains it. And we're in recovery, we're almost in recovery mode from that. It's been a tough, tough, tough shift. And I think after that, we do take stock and say, okay, we made it, which is not an achievement. We made it. I mean, we did that project. It was a 5.8 million project. We did it through an overdraft most of the time. For about half of it, we did it without an overdraft because the Clydesdale Bank went into freefall during it, unfortunately. But anyway, I think coming out of that and saying we've survived, let's just think about things in a very general way. Because you can't just keep ploughing the same for it. You've got to stop at some point and say, do we want to do another building? Do we want to do something else? You know, do we want to delve into some of the activities that other people do? But we need to address that. And I think we're coming to a stage where there'll be new people coming in with better ideas, younger ideas, and they might have very different ambitions. And I think one huge change is that what we were doing was innovative. It's not any longer. You know, people say, wow, you can go there and get 500 square feet in a monthly lease. What? There's nothing innovative about what we're doing now. The most innovative thing we've done is the heritage, Fairfield Heritage. That's the most innovative thing we've done in years. So, time for a rethink.
Mm-hmm. And what, in terms of need, do you think is coming from the community? You've always been very committed to responding to that need, you know, and you've mentioned the Govanold Church as one particular area you're working on just now. Can you see any issues coming down the line that you can think the community are going to need support on?
There could be. You could choose any number of issues. Health, poverty, education, employment, who knows? We can only work within the resources we've got at the moment. And at the moment, Govanold's taken up quite a lot of them. And as Pat said, we do need to refocus our core business and really have another look at that, given the state of the market. So that's going to be a big priority.
Great. Well, thank you very much for your time. That's all the questions I have. Do you have any questions for me, or is there anything you think I've missed that you'd like to talk about?
I think the question you asked there is an important one for us. You know, the needs of the community. You could go back 100 years and you can identify some of the same needs. We've just done this exhibition about the situation of the community at the start of the First World War, and you think, wow, you know, housing was a big problem, the bedroom tax, what's different? Unemployment was a big problem. Exactly the same situation now. And you kind of, I suppose, start to ask yourself what way an organisation like Govan Workspace could function in the future to try and support the community in a way that it's not been supported before. Now, sounds a bit confusing, but Govanold might have a really good education and cultural role in the future. Educationally, this community is a shambles. The schools have been a shambles in most of the time that we've been here. There are no youth services left in Govan, so the problems that we are currently facing with kids running riot, a few years ago those kids would have had a place to go to, a club or whatever. There ain't nothing. So it may well be that part of the future is actually campaigning with the community about some of these issues. You know, using a wee bit of money to promote a particular cause. I think if it fails to do that, I think if it fails to tackle some of these issues, it will have missed an opportunity.
I mean, over the years, I certainly constantly asked myself, and we had all these initiatives and stuff, would I want to live in government? And, you know, that's the benchmark. Because if you've no play facilities for kids, and if the schools aren't good and the streets aren't clean, then you can get as many initiatives as you like, but at the end of the day, that's what people are having to live in.
Dirty streets
where you can't let a toddler walk along the street because you're not sure what they're going to come in contact with. Very restricted services for children into youth, none. And that's in terms of family life, is that what people want?
Setting class services.
Yeah, it does feel like that. So there's a lot still to be fought for in government. I mean, it's getting better. There are signs of improvement, but they've got all the cuts on top of things. You know, just as things started to feel as if they were getting a bit better now, you can't think of getting a grant for this or a grant for that, because everybody's skint and there's no money to be had. Things are being cut back quite seriously, which will affect things like youth services really badly. Lots still to be done.
I think when the local policeman says to you, "Ah, come on, it's only Govan," you think, it's ingrained.
It's endemic, isn't it?
It's ingrained.
Yeah, it is.
How do you tackle that?
But
nice positive note.
Well, that $1 billion question posed, I'll start a recording there.